Podcast rebooting. Loading the Unheard Nerd Movie Podcast, Season 2.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Here it is. This is it. The movie podcast is back from theunheardnerd.com. The rumours of a split over artistic differences are much exaggerated, though there was one attempt by one member, I won't mention who, to go solo with this show. But we are back with what we're tentatively calling season two. Yep, we didn't actually announce that season one had finished, but... I had a kid with a broken leg, I started a new job, went on holiday, John got incredibly frustrated, but we've managed to resolve in an out-of-court settlement. We are back. I'm Will, and you are?
I'm John.
Hello, John. It's been a long time since we did a movie podcast.
It's been a while. Films are in colour now.
They are. And in 3D, still. Can't believe it. So, the last podcast we did back in season one, we'll call it, the last show we did was our live meetup, Cliffhanger, where we went and saw Man of Steel. And
that's right.
Yeah, a lot has happened since then. What have you watched since we last spoke? Can you remember any of it?
Iron Man 3, which was awesome.
Okay, haven't seen it.
The best thing about it, you can't tell anyone who hasn't seen it because it ruins it. So
okay, right.
Yeah. Watch Star Trek again.
Uh huh.
Still brilliant.
Yeah.
I saw Argo. I thought that was brilliant.
Oh, I watched that last night.
Oh right. What did you think?
I thought it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've never seen a film where I've been so tense throughout, but without anything really going wrong.
Yeah.
If you think about that film, it's a series of moves where in an average film you have, you know, everything starts off well, to, you know, it's all going to plan, and you get to a point where something bad happens, someone dies, or, you know, everything's going wrong and I have to replan and rethink. But that just doesn't happen in Argo. It's a real steady ascent to the you know, conclusion. And I don't want to give too many spoilers away for anyone that hasn't seen it, because, you know, this is an Oscar winning film. It is fucking good. It is good.
Very good.
But it's very rare that there's a film where nothing, you know, really goes wrong. I mean, there are moments of tension and moments where you think, oh, you know, he's a goner, or, you know, this is going to happen.
He's going to grass them up and make the whole thing fall apart.
Very refreshing, and an awful lot of nerdy references in there that I wasn't expecting. Because I knew nothing about Argo before I watched it.
No, I knew it was something to do with... you know, the Middle East and Ben Affleck, and that's about as far as it went. I thought, well, I'm going to give it a go. It's got Oscars. There must be something good about it.
Yeah, I was completely surprised by there's a bit of a juxtaposition. There's a much of a difference between the very serious events that are happening in Iran, and then you've got the very comedic element, very light-hearted element of John Goodman and co. on the other side of the story, the flip side. So, yeah, really, really interesting. And just to nerd out just a second... when the kid is watching the program, and Affleck, who obviously stars in it and directed it, I think he wrote it as well, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Where he phones up his kid who's watching TV, and before you even saw any picture of what was on the screen, I knew what he was watching just from the sound effects. I am that big a fan of the original Battlestar Galactica. So yeah, amazing film, really good. While we're on the subject of Affleck, is it worth mentioning now, or are we saving it for later?
Affleck, you don't bomb in Phantom, yo.
Oh, we can save it for the other section.
We'll save
I'm sure everyone knows what it's about anyway.
Shh, don't tell anyone. We'll save it. It's a secret.
For Phantoms 2.
What else have you watched? Have you watched anything else that springs to mind? I've got a corker for you, that I've watched. Kids Club, another Kids Club.
I'm sure I have watched stuff. It's just left my head.
my cinematic escapades have been much curtailed, and my eyes have been opened by having a kid with a broken leg in a wheelchair. My eldest daughter, poor kid, I mean, I've mentioned it probably elsewhere, but broke her leg, and she, above the knee, really bad break, in traction for 3 weeks. And then when she finally got out of hospital, she was in a pink, bright pink cast that went from her right ankle all the way up to just under the rib cage, or just above the rib cage, I would say, on her chest, and then all the way back down to the knee on the other leg, even though that one wasn't broken. And basically she was just in that position for like 4 weeks, I think. And so we had to cram her into a wheelchair with the careful use of cushions and pillows, because the cast made it actually impossible for her to sit up or So I did take her to Kids Club a couple of times in the wheelchair, and I discovered how fucking hard it is to navigate anywhere with, if you have a disability or you have someone in a wheelchair. Just getting into the toilets, you have to ask someone for a key. It's unbelievable, like just ridiculous, set up. But, a real eye-opener. So, I've experienced that. But our most recent venture to Kids Club, now that my daughter's out of the cast again and can walk, albeit a little bit limpy, we went and saw a 1977 superhero film, and I guarantee you will never, ever guess what it is. 77 superhero film. I'll even narrow it down. It was a...
Condor Man?
No. It was a British Film Board short film. I say short film. It's about an hour long.
Well, there's old Children's Film Foundation things.
Yes, exactly that. Yes, very British. I don't think anyone outside of Britain will have ever heard.
No.
It was called Sammy's Super T-shirt.
I don't remember that one.
And it's about this little kid called Sammy who's training for a running race. And he trains every day, he does exercises, he's got a cassette with exercises on that he works out to. And he's got a manager who is a kid who looks to be a couple of years older than him. Now, Sammy's a white kid, and his colleague Marvin is a black kid. And Marvin is encouraging him to train for this race. Now, Sammy has his favourite T-shirt with a picture of a tiger on the front. Really, they're wearing flares. It's really old-fashioned. But some bullies pinch his T-shirt off him, and they throw it over a wall of a factory. Now, it's not really a factory. It's actually a place where they're working on materials to try and make them indestructible. And so it gets mixed up with his washing and his clothes. And this guy experiments on it, and things go a little bit wrong. But Sammy and Marvin sneak in and steal the T-shirt back. But what it does is it gives Sammy superpowers. But it's also, it's so, the car that the bad guys are chasing Sammy in actually changes mid-scene from an old Hillman, a black Hillman car, to an orange Maxi, Leyland Maxi, sort of halfway through the scene. It's unbelievably naff. But you know what? My kids loved it. They really enjoyed it.
You can buy a lot of those Children's Foundation stuff on DVD. They've done some compilations.
That's right. I think they're having a drive on that sort of thing at the moment. So it was very interesting to see. And they ran a competition in the cinema where the kids would come up with a storyline and like a comic strip. And the best one won an exact replica of Sammy's T-shirt. It was brilliant. It was really good. So well done, Greenwich Picture House, again. I always got good things to say about them, but that was really good. But anyway, that's pretty boring. Other than that, I went on a ferry to France, because I've been on holiday in France, and the ferry had a cinema on it. Amazing. Ooh. I mean, the one on the way back had a swimming pool as well. It's incredible. I know. Yeah, Wi-Fi on the ferry as well. Satellite Wi-Fi. We're living in the future.
Blimey.
So the wife took the kids to see Despicable Me 2, which they loved, absolutely loved. But other than that, other than Argo, and I think we watched something the other night, I can't remember what it was, I didn't find particularly interesting. That's about all I've watched since the last movie podcast, so need to get back into it. Adventures in Cinema. Right, let's start the show. John, we're going to kick off with a new section to the podcast, and we're going to call it...
Concession Stand.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Tidbits of movie news that don't really fit into any other category. So I'm really excited to find out what's in this. What have we got?
The first one is just kind of a general question and rant, and maybe some of the listeners might know something. What's happened to Mad Max 4?
Mad Max 4? I didn't even know they were making it.
It's been made. This is.
You're joking, really?
No, but I don't know if I got my years right, but it was set for filming in 2011. And it's going to be filmed in Australia like the other three, and they're all ready to go. And then the desert area they had booked for filming had the wettest length of rainfall they'd ever had, and the desert sprouted grass and flowers, which kind of ruined everything.
Helpful, yeah.
So they put the filming back to the following year and decided to do it in South Africa. And if you look around the net, there's loads of sneak peek photos on the set of some really wacky, crazy vehicles they've built for this movie. I think filming finished late last year, and then it's all gone quiet again. And then a piece of news came out the other day saying, oh, we're going to go back to do, was it about 6 weeks of reshoots in November? And they go, okay, Warner Brothers, any idea? Have got a release date? There's not even been, you know, an official, a photo has come out, but I don't know if it's been officially, you know, it's been officially released. I don't know where it's come from. A couple of websites even reported that Warner Brothers have put it down on their release schedule for 2015.
Does Mel Gibson feature in this?
No, Tom Hardy is Max.
Oh, right, okay.
Mad Max Fury Road is its official title.
Fury Road. Well, that's the question. If anybody has any information, get in touch at The Unheard Nerd and at UK Film Nerd on Twitter, or email us, theunheardnerd@gmail.com. And you can even try Facebook, although I'll be honest, I don't really like Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. What else have we got on the concession stand? Because I have no answers for you, John. I don't know.
Apparently Wolverine was to appear in Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man film.
Really?
Yes. This is from Hugh Jackman himself.
He was supposed to.
Apparently they decided, I think it's more of a sort of an in-joke thing.
Right,
but,
okay.
But Spider-Man was filming in New York, Hugh Jackman was in New York. They were like, come down to the set, get the old black costume on and walk through the scene or something. Just, we'll figure out a way to get you on there and it'll be funny and the fans will love it. And they couldn't find the costume.
Oh, really?
No one could figure out where it got to, and so it never happened, just because they couldn't find the costume.
Surely they could have come up with something. I really, you know, just a leather jacket and something, you know, surely they could have done that.
that's the story, apparently.
Are they both owned by Sony Pictures, then? The X-Men and like the Wolverine and...
Fox have the X-Men, Sony have Spider-Man.
Oh, I wonder how they would be allowed to do that then. I recently read like the whole licensing issues surrounding Marvel characters and why Marvel themselves, Marvel Studios, can't use, you know, X-Men in their films. So, you know, they couldn't have Wolverine in an Avengers film, even though he's an Avenger. And, you know, it's highly unlikely that Spider-Man would ever appear in an Avengers film, even though he's an Avenger, because, you know, the different properties are owned by different studios, franchised out, and they have sort of an indefinite, you know, renewal on it, so they can keep renewing it as long as they're making money and making films. It's only if they don't make films for a certain amount of time that the franchise reverts back to Marvel. So, you know, bit of a shitty situation to be stuck in. So I wonder...
Like the infamous Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Which is only made... so that Fox could keep hold of the rights to the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, but interestingly, there are some grey areas. So, for example, there are a couple of characters that could appear in an Avengers film as long as they didn't, like Magneto's kids, as long as they didn't mention Magneto or that he was anything to do with the X-Men. So there's this,
That'd be some very creative writing.
Yeah, very strange, very strange.
My dad's got real magnetism, wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, so obviously he didn't appear because they couldn't find a costume. That's weird.
Apparently, J.J. Abrams blames the Star Trek video game for the dig at the film.
I did hear that. I mean, the films did incredibly well. I mean, what?
I mean, it's made a shitload of money as being a decent Star Trek film, but apparently the critical reception has been not so good, and he blames that on the Time video game that came out, you know, a month or so before it.
I mean, do you think the video game gives away any of the plot? I mean,
when normally they tend to tie them together, don't they? I mean, the usual thing is the game is a sort of prequel to the movie,
right? Yeah,
the common theme. But from his interview, he was involved with the video game from the very beginning, but then he had to drop out to work on the movie properly, and the video game went somewhere which he wasn't very pleased with. He had a bit of a rant about it, basically.
It's a bit of a weird thing to come out with, a bit of a petty gripe, isn't it?
I mean, how many, apart from sort of maybe gamers and Star Trek fans, I wouldn't have thought, you know, the movie going public is really bothered about, you know, oh, it's a video game that gives the film whatever, I'm not a gamer, so...
Yeah, I don't know, I didn't even know there was a Star Trek game, if I'm honest.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I did see this, though, kicking around the internet, and I did find it was a bit of an odd thing to come out with. It sounds a bit, you know, why even bother? Why even mention it? You know, just let it go. The film was incredibly successful. I suspect it's just, you know, hype, because the Blu-ray release has just come out for Into Darkness.
Yeah.
You know, it's just building. It's something for the press to latch on to. And of course, they're going to mention that the DVD is out as well. You know, it's like, you know, it's just media hype, I think. So yeah, seems a bit silly to me. Is that it? Is that everything
that's,
for
that's,
concessions?
That's the concession stand, yeah.
Okay, concession stand was a hit. I like it. We asked the question, as we often do on the movie podcast. We ask a movie related question, usually you know, something to do with what's going on now. And since we haven't really done a podcast all summer, we thought we'd ask this week, what was your blockbuster film of the summer? What was your favourite film? And actually had quite a decent response to this. I'll start with the surprise answer for me, a film that I hadn't actually heard of before. And it's called This Is the End. And coming up with that answer is Corey Epps from the Evil Teddy Bear podcast, fellow podcaster, also a movie podcast. And a friend of the show, MC_Hunter1990, Jeff Hunter, or sorry, Jeff Wright, whatever his name is. Jeff. This is the end. Also, we had, in no particular order, with one vote, World War Z by Chadley the Movie. We had Pacific Rim by our friend Stiborge.
I still want to see that.
We had Man of Steel for Big Boss Reza. These are their Twitter handles, so follow these people. But the winner with a whopping two votes. Oh no, it's not the winner. Joint winner with This Is the End was Star Trek Into Darkness, and that was from my former housemate and former bandmate Ben Fly V on Twitter. And the other Steve_M, he also said Star Trek Into Darkness. Somebody who's a little bit behind the times, I'm sure I asked the question, what was your summer blockbuster from this summer? But Stiboosh said Iron Man 2. He said he's also a little bit behind the times and still trying to catch up a little bit. So fair enough. Well done. That's his summer. I presume it's a he. Sounds like a he, doesn't it, Stiboosh? I think it must be a he. So yeah, that's the Twitter feedback. That was shockingly shoddy. So let's move on to our now regular featured section. Second time we've done it. Original film. What have we got, John?
The Good Dinosaur.
The Good Dinosaur. It sounds interesting.
Basically, dinosaurs evolved to become the sort of the ruling species on Earth.
Yeah.
And then one of these dinosaurs sort of makes friend with a little human, and it sort of leads on from there.
It's quite sweet. I don't doubt it will be a massive hit, and I don't doubt that I will be going to see that at the cinema with the kids. Cool. What's next?
The other Pixar film showed off was called Inside Out.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which for any English person who read, I forgot what comic it was. Now, there's a comic called The Numbskulls.
All right.
Numbskulls. But basically, the lead character is a girl named Riley, who's 11, but we get to see inside her head. And there's five people inside her head: anger, disgust, fear, sadness, and joy. And it's like she's a ship in a way. There's like a a large bridge, a bit like the Enterprise bridge, and they sit there and they're her emotions. You see them argue and control her as the day goes on.
I've never heard of that. What's it called again, the comic?
It's a British comic. It's a I can't remember if it's in there. It's not Dandy. It's not Beano. But the comic strip's called The Numbskulls.
Oh, right. Okay. I've never heard of that. I don't know what that is. But that...
I never read that as a kid. Well, you could. It's not quite the same way. There's that horrible Eddie Murphy film, wasn't there, where Eddie Murphy is a spaceship controlled by lots of tiny Eddie Murphys.
No, I've not seen that either. Christ.
That sounds... I've not seen it. I saw the trailer. That was enough.
Sounds appalling. Okay. Well, and what's the reaction been to that? Any news on that?
A positive reaction to all the stuff shown from those two.
It's Pixar.
It's Pixar.
The sun shines out their ass. good on them. Good on them. They're doing good things. Okay. What have we got up next?
John Wick.
No idea who that is.
No, because that's a character name.
Oh. Of course.
it's a film about hitmen starring Willem Dafoe and Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. Great.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves is playing Wick, who's a contract killer, but he leaves the business when his wife gets killed in the line of fire, but then they kill his dog as well.
Oh, nice.
Apparently a random criminal blows up his car and the dog is in the car, which apparently is a gift from his late wife. So that sets him off. This sounds terrible now, doesn't it? That sets him off, and he goes to find out who's behind these killings, and apparently it's one of his old assassin buddies who's played by Willem Dafoe. So you've got assassin versus assassin.
Having his wife killed wasn't enough to rile him up, but his dog, not the dog. Don't kill the dog.
The dog.
I'm not sure I'll be rushing out to see that one.
No.
But, yeah, it's a story. John Wick.
Hopefully it's not a better name.
I hope that's a working title. It's not great. John Wick. reached the end of his wick.
Oh, God.
They got on his wick.
Oh.
Okay, yeah.
Let's jump to the next section.
Okay, up next, we are going to continue our painful, painful section called the Box Office Top 10. Several months ago, I bored everyone stupid with the ins and outs and intricate details of the UK box office. We said we would do a different box office every week, and true to form, true to my word, this time around. Yeah, we fucking gave up podcasting for a few months. We bored ourselves so silly. We are back with a vengeance, and this week it's the US box office as of the 12th of September 2013. Are you ready? We're going to condense it and make it a lot less painful. Well, basically, we're going to run from 10 to 1, see if we've heard of the film, see if John knows anything about it, because I won't know much about it, and see whether it's worth going to see in the words of the nerds. So, starting in the US box office, top 10 as of 12th of September 2013. And number 10, it's Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Any ideas?
Harry Potter ripoff, isn't it?
Is it?
Was it Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief was the first one?
Oh, really? Was it? It's made $1.82 million in this weekend and $62 million gross.
All right, okay.
And it's been out for 6 weeks apparently in the US box office. At number 9, Elysium.
Oh, I really want to see this.
Yeah, it looks good. Is it out in the UK yet?
Yeah, it came out last month.
Did it? God, I've missed loads going on holiday. In this weekend, it took $2.05 million. It's taken $88.4 million gross, and it's been out for 6 weeks as well. At number 8, This Is Us. Any ideas?
Pass. It rings a bell.
If I'd been a little bit more prepared, I would have found out. I didn't. So it made $2.4 million in this weekend and $26.9 million gross over 3 weeks. At number 7 from Disney Pixar, it's Planes.
Ah, this is not a Pixar film.
It's not.
No.
Shit on me.
This is what I think is going to sully the Pixar name a little bit. This is actually from Disney Animation, but obviously seeing as Disney owned Pixar.
Yeah.
I think it might be just Pixar Presents or something. I don't know.
I mean, it's effectively Cars in the sky, isn't it?
That's exactly what it is.
It looks the same style. It's an animation. It's aimed at kids. It's
already got a sequel plan for next year or year after or something.
Yeah, I mean, crazy. I am shocked that that's actually not a Pixar film. It really does look like Disney now having, you know, control of Pixar, albeit, you know, when they took on Pixar, Pixar actually took over control of Disney Animation. If the heads of Pixar became the heads of Disney Animation in an attempt to actually revive Disney Animation, because they've not actually had a decent film out for, you know, since Lion King, probably. Well, that seems to be doing all right. It's in the top 10. It's number 7. It's taken 3.7 million in a week, this weekend just gone. 83 million gross, which I don't think is mega bucks for that kind of film from Disney, but it's not bad.
It's better than The Lone Ranger.
Yeah. I don't know why. Did you notice on the website, on theunheardnerd.com, that fucking TV spot for the last was trending in the top 10 for like a month?
TV spot and posters.
Weird.
Up there every day. It's like, why? The film's out. It's been and gone. They're just posters.
Some crazy Google bot got stuck on that and was munching away, I think. At number 6, this I have no fucking clue about. At number 6, No Se Aceptan Devolución. Yeah, I think it must be some kind of Spanish film, Spanish language, perhaps. I don't know. It made 4.25 million in the last weekend and 26.6 million gross, which, again, not massive figures, but for a film you've never heard of, that's not bad at all, is it?
You're right.
So maybe we should do some research. Maybe I'll come back next show and say what these films are. At number 5, We Were the Millers, which I've seen a little bit about. It's got Jennifer Aniston in it, and some sort of family comedy thing where I think they're stuck in some sort of situation and
The guy has to go to New Mexico to do something, but he needs a wife, so he hires Jennifer Aniston to be his wife, and she's a stripper.
She's a stripper, yeah. Tenuous. okay, I've been out for 6 weeks, 132 million gross. That's crazy. Stop going and watching shit films, people. I mean, really, just stop it. At number 4, The Butler.
It's just a Batman spin-off.
It's what happened to what's his name?
Alfred, as you've never seen him before.
Exactly, it's what happened after the cafe at the end. Becomes a vigilante killer. I don't know what that's about. 100 million gross out for 5 weeks. At number 3, and this is one you'll be interested in, Riddick. Are you not interested?
I'd like to see it.
I thought you were a big fan of the Riddick series.
I watched Pitch Black again, actually, just about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good piece of solid sci-fi film.
Yeah.
Not as good as I remembered it being.
Oh, okay.
I plan on watching... I'm going to watch Chronicles of Riddick at some point.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully I'll see that soon after.
Yeah, okay. Well, 31.3 million gross 2 weeks in the charts. At number 2, The Family.
Oh, I watched a trailer for this the other day.
Did you? What's that about? Is it about a family?
It is. It's the film I think it is. It's a Luc Besson film.
Okay.
Fifth Element, Leon.
Oh, right, okay. That might be decent then, which might be why it's at number 2.
It's an ex-mafia guy who's in the witness relocation program, and they're sent to live in France. But, of course, he can't stop being a mafia guy, can he? Ensue hilarity!
I think I bumped into people like that in the Super U. The hypermarché. When I was buying me croissants and French stick every morning. Sorry, demi-baguette every morning. What a crazy system that is. Fuck it. You can have bread, but it won't last more than a day. So you've got to go back to the supermarket and get it every day, fresh. Lovely, like a bit of fresh bread. But you've got to be there before 8 a.m., otherwise we've sold out. What the shit?
There's no sliced bread.
I've got, well, there is. But you know, when you're in France, you have a baguette, don't you?
Yeah.
You have a baguette, you have the cheese, you have the jambon, yeah. and you have your croissant and your pain au chocolat, and you know, the kids went native and wanted nothing but, you know, croissant for breakfast and wine and cheese for lunch. And yeah, it was good fun. We played balls on the beach. At number one, Insidious Chapter 2. Wasn't he like in Star Wars, Darth Insidious or something?
as much as I know about that film. It's a horror, isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't seen it called Chapter 2 before, but that might just be a different country thing.
We weren't expecting to make a sequel. Call it Chapter 2.
I think Riddick's got about four different names for different countries.
That sounds about right.
In one place, it's like the Continued Chronicles of Riddick or something like that, or the Chronicles of Riddick, the Dark, something or other.
All the Dark.
Over here. Yeah, that's right, over here, yeah. But yeah, just Riddick in the US, and I don't know, maybe it's got the tagline as well. But there we go, that's the US top 10. Out of all of those, I'd probably watch Riddick. The Family might be all right.
Elysium.
I'll find out what I think it's Spanish, maybe Spanish language one is about. And Elysium, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that, but the others can go fuck themselves.
Tell it like it is.
There it is. Okay, now talking about things that can go fuck themselves, we've got our next and regular section, Reboots and Remakes, also known as Shitting on Our Youth. Yeah, stop shitting on our youth and remaking things like Goonies and stuff that we like.
Leave them alone.
Not that they've remade Goonies, but I'm sure they were.
You've given someone an idea.
I'm sure they were going to, or make a sequel, weren't they? They were making a sequel. The people out there that make stuff. What have we got in reboots and remakes?
Only a couple worth mentioning. Well, one's already been mentioned before, but I think we should have a rant about it. The Mummy's coming back.
Right, okay. As a reboot of an original.
The piece of news attached is that originally they were going to be directed by Len Wiseman, who did the new Total Recall and Die Hard 4, and I think he did all of the Underworld series. But he's dropped out, and apparently there was a horror film earlier this year called Mama.
All right, no, not heard of it.
Yes, the one. The director's Andres Muschietti. Apparently he's up for directing it now.
Okay, I've heard the name.
I really like the 90s version of The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. Well, the first two are pretty good. The third one's a bit iffy.
It really made his name, didn't it, Brendan Fraser? And yeah. I mean, he was in Airheads, wasn't he? Which I enjoyed. And of which I should say just while we're on the subject, I don't know how big Alan Partridge is around the world. and I'm sure Alpha Papa, the Alan Partridge movie, is not going to be a worldwide massive hit, but there must be a cult following around the world. But yeah, it technically is a rip-off of Airheads. a radio DJ is held within the confines of the studio by a baying crowd outside. It's a hostage situation. It's pretty much a rip-off. That's a sweeping statement, I know, because I haven't actually seen Alpha Papa, but from the trailer, that's what I'm coming
out with.
The
trailer's all you need.
Yeah. But anyway, back to The Mummy. It was Brendan Fraser and, was it Rachel Weisz?
Rachel Weisz, yeah.
Yeah, both of which, you know, went on, well, I mean, her in particular went on to have much, you know, a good career. Yeah, I never really cared for The Mummy. Not my type of film, really, but it was a massive hit when it came out. It was quite spectacular. It had good special effects and CGI. I can't see how they're going to make it better by rebooting it. But, you know, it's all about money, isn't it?
Apparently it's going to be set in modern times. That's the bit I forgot to mention.
Oh, right, okay.
There's the change.
right, okay. Well, there you go. Why bother? But I suppose they're going to do it, aren't they? And,
nothing's going to stop them.
Probably be all right. I don't know. Still not my type of film. What else, John? Anything else on that section?
Well, we've talked about this in the past, and we've mentioned what we've seen of set photos and viral marketing, and we finally got our first trailer for the reboot of RoboCop.
Yeah. Now, I think we have a slight difference of opinion on this. Yeah, I didn't mention it earlier when we were talking before the show, but...
That's fine.
You feel...
I don't like it. I just don't like it. It doesn't... I mean, for example, I showed it to Missy's wife, and she watched it, and she went, "Oh, I'm not watching that show. That looks shit." I went, "No, it's not a show. That's a film." And she went, "That's a film?" It's not impressed.
Fair enough.
At all. I mean, I know it's just the trailer. It's Robocop. I will go and watch it at some point to see what it was like. But based on that trailer, I mean, it's got such a good cast in it as well. I mean, you've got Michael Keaton, Samuel Jackson with some strange hair, Gary Oldman.
Yeah, it is a good casting.
He obviously goes through different suits as well. It seems to be different variations of Robocops in there as well, by looking at it.
Yeah, this is how they've managed. This is how they've modernised it, with a nod towards the original. Like, so obviously the original Robocop is very recognisable. So I think they sort of start off in that style, not quite the same, and then you got this guy going, "It's got to be in black. It's got to be, more urban, you know, whatever.
It's got to be more Batmanish."
Yeah, it really is. It is really a bit of a cross between sort of Batman and Iron Man in terms of the look, to my eye, anyway. But I watched the trailer, and I quite enjoyed it. But I tell you what, I forgot, and I've really only just remembered. Talking now, the reason Robocop was so good in the original is that it was so cheesy and outlandish and over the top and ultra violent and just ridiculous. I mean, we did a whole Robocop special podcast once, didn't we? About the second or third show in. And it really was just like, it was almost a comedy, I don't know, shock film. It was a comedy shocker. And I mean, that was a lot of its appeal. And yeah, you had the spoof sort of news broadcast sort of as part of the film, which hadn't really been done before. And it was fresh. It was like it was a bit naff, but at the same time, that's what made it really good. And I think what this film will be lacking is all of that. It's going to be a straight up sort of serious, you know, action science fiction film, isn't it?
Reduced down to a PG-13.
Is that what it is?
I think it's a PG-13, yeah.
Okay, which means the DVD release will probably be a 15, you know, previously unreleased material.
The version you didn't see in the cinema.
Exactly. Which is what happened to the most recent Die Hard film. It was a ridiculously low certificate for that, and then came out with all the extras on the DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah, I don't know. I mean... It's a shame. They were never ever going to recapture the magic of the original Robocop, but at the same time, it was ripe for rebooting. And I don't know, there were nods to the original that I enjoyed, but the only thing that annoyed me was the "dead or alive, you're coming with me." But it wasn't delivered properly. That line needed to be delivered in the same way. You can't change it. It's got to be the same sort of pattern and delivery to it, and that did annoy me. So
I've just realized a slightly different take as well, because whereas the original Robocop, he's essentially, his memories are wiped, aren't they? He's basically just an organic being turned into a cyborg, and he starts remembering that he had a family.
Yeah, that's
whereas
right.
In this one, he knows he's still the policeman, but he wakes up to find himself as Robocop.
That's right, yeah. And rather than breaking his prime directives to so that he can interact with his family and remember, he's breaking his prime directives so that he can do good.
Okay,
it sounds a bit shit now, actually. I think I've turned around on this one. But I don't know, I am still interested to see it. It could be all right. Well, I'm jury's out, I'm thumbs middle on this one. I'm wavering, sat right on the fence. I don't know.
Get back to us next year.
Yeah, we'll come back to that one. Anything else on that section?
No. Next section, please.
Next section? Have we got another section?
Sequels and prequels.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Next section, sequels and prequels.
you even wrote this down?
I didn't write that down. I wrote down everything but that bit. I knew there was another section. I just couldn't remember what it was. I honestly thought we'd covered it. Sequels and prequels. What have we got?
Well, the accountants at Warner Brothers must finally realise that the Harry Potter franchise is not bringing in enough money anymore.
Oh, funny that.
So they've announced Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, a new film set in the Harry Potter universe, but not about Harry Potter. In fact, apparently it's set 70 years before him. And it's actually being an original script written by J.K. Rowling herself.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you wouldn't ask anyone else to write it, I don't suppose.
No, I suppose Warner Brothers threw some money at her, being the cynic I am, and said, do something, Harry Potter, will you? The funds are running low.
She's already the richest woman in the bloody country. She's richer than the Queen, officially.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, she really is richer than the Queen. Okay. I mean, she just had that book out, didn't she? She wrote under a different name, yeah. And then that was leaked.
And the book went mental and sold loads of copies.
Would you say that? The W.H. Smith near where I work has had copies in the window for months that haven't shifted. So I don't know, maybe people...
I heard she was quite enjoying the sort of anonymity of it all.
The what?
I don't know.
Anonymity.
Yeah. Anonymity. She's quite enjoying that, and then obviously someone from the publisher leaked the fact that she wrote it, and then the sales suddenly started bumping up quite fast apparently, and she's like, oh, bollocks.
The story was, it was it one of the publisher's lawyers told his wife,
that's it,
who told her girlfriend who tweeted a Guardian journalist who started some investigations and realised that, yes, in fact, it was J.K. Rowling that wrote that book. And it's called, like, The Cuckoo's Nest or something like that. I don't know. Can't remember exactly. And it went mental. But, so Harry... not Harry Potter. Not Harry Potter. What's it called again? Beasts and...
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Apparently it's the name of one of the textbooks they study at Hogwarts. And the author of the book is a Newt Scamander, and it's going to be about him. And guess what? Apparently, it won't just be one movie. There are already plans for a video game and more spin-off products.
Of course. Not being a fan of Harry Potter in the slightest, this does not fill me with any kind of emotion whatsoever. I am completely neutral. I neither dislike or like this news. That's my official stance, and I don't care what anybody says. That's what it is.
One of the websites I went to simply had the headline of Warner Brothers are flogging a dead hippogriff.
That's quite funny.
That's my favourite one.
I like that. Any other sequels and prequels?
Lots.
Lots? Oh, my God. Okay, let me write these down.
It's something that's already been known, but... Disney officially came out and said, yes, we are going to be making three Star Wars films with origin movies in between them.
Okay, well, it makes sense. I think we've discussed this before, haven't we?
Yeah, well, it's the first time Disney have actually sort of come out and said officially, yes, that is what we're doing. Although, apart from that, they haven't said anything else.
So we don't know which characters.
No.
Just characters. One of them's got to be Boba Fett. That would go through the roof.
I think... Yeah, I think the current favourites are Boba Fett, Yoda and Han Solo.
Yeah, I'm not so fussed about Yoda. I mean, he talks backwards and doesn't... I think he's got learning problems and social skill problems. But I'm not fussed about Yoda. But Boba Fett would be awesome. Han Solo would probably be good. Luke, we already know his story.
It's called Star Wars.
It's called Star Wars. Have you seen the book that's out at the moment, William Shakespeare's Star Wars?
No.
Somebody's written the whole of A New Hope.
Right.
As if William Shakespeare wrote it. So it's in oldie English. I don't know, it looks intriguing. And they've got sort of an oldie-style Darth Vader on the cover. worth looking up. I'm really tempted to buy it and just, read it. Because now I have a commute to work, I've got time to read. We all knew that they were going to do that. I mean, they're going to rinse the arse out of this franchise, aren't they? It's going to be Star Wars for the next 30 years, probably.
I mean, all we know so far is J.J. Abrams is directing and John Williams is going to compose the music for the first one. And that's it. That's all we know.
Ah, there we are. Okay, what's up next?
Something I've labelled Jerry Bruckheimer news.
Okay.
He's got his fingers in lots of pies. Well, we're going to get a Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Okay.
Disney have moved that back about half a year or so or something, because after the huge success of The Lone Ranger, they're rather scared and they want to make sure they take their time on this one.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to The Lone Ranger. They had a lot of potential.
I haven't seen it yet. I mean, I enjoyed the trailer and I still want to see it.
Yeah, it seemed to have a lot of potential, but you know, just, I don't know, it had production problems, as you wrote about on the site, and I don't know, maybe it just never recovered from those.
Maybe.
Stuff on TV or on the radio, listen to it on the radio, and you hear stuff about it. I've heard nothing about it. It's strange. We don't need another Pirates of the Caribbean, so they can stop doing that.
Okay, then.
What else?
He's also looking to produce Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Again, no need. Can someone just take out Jerry Bruckheimer? It's just, I don't know, cut his thumbs off or something.
They recently tried to bring it back as a TV series. You know about that?
No, I didn't know about that.
They tried to make a Beverly Hills Cop TV series.
But starring who? I mean, you can't have Eddie Murphy.
He was going to be in it as Axel Foley, but it wouldn't be Axel Foley. Wouldn't be the main character. It'd be sort of someone else.
Son
something like that. But that all failed. That all fell through before they even shot the pilot, I think. So that's why they're now talking about a fourth film instead.
Stop it. Fucking idiots.
let's carry on. This is getting better now. He's also helping develop a script for Bad Boys 3.
Stop it.
And he's also still looking to do Top Gun 2.
So basically, Jerry Bruckheimer doesn't have a fucking clue about any ideas for a new film whatsoever. It's like, Jerry, what should we do? Oh, I've got Alzheimer's now. Let's make Top Gun. Yes, Top Gun. No, you've already made that. It's already out there. Top Gun 2. No. Let's think of something else. Okay, Beverly Hills Cop. No, we've done that. 2. No. 3. No. 4. Oh, Jerry, just go and sit in your chair, have a smoke, have a whiskey, and just settle down, all right? You fucking idiot. Stop it. Oh my god. Jerry Bruckheimer is now the Unheard Nerd Movie Podcast enemy number one. There'll be a reward on his head, not in his head. Yeah. Don't actually kill him. Please don't actually kill him. But yeah.
This is for the Unheard Nerd.
God, can you imagine the hits we'd get after that? All right,
there is a price for it.
Yes, do it. Do not do it.
Some news. Expendables 3.
Do you know what? I know the cameraman, or one of the cameramen that films these films. He's done all of them. He's a Facebook friend. I didn't realise. I see him out in Bulgaria doing all these location scouts and up in helicopters and stuff on his Facebook feed. And then he plays football with us when he's back. And I was like, well, so what is it you do? You do some sort of location. He's like, I'm a cameraman. I do the whatever they're called, old men action hero films, Expendables. So yeah, he will be filming or have filmed that film.
Yeah, it's a while ago now. They just confirmed that Mel Gibson's going to be the villain for number 3.
Okay, right.
Adding to the list, Antonio Banderas is going to be in it.
But not Bruce Willis.
No, Bruce Willis is being replaced by Harrison Ford. And do you know why Bruce Willis isn't in it?
Because he's an arse.
Essentially, do you know the story behind it?
No.
Stallone wanted Willis to do 4 days filming in Bulgaria, and Bruce went, I want $4 million. Because of his status as a star, no matter how much of an arse he is, I suppose. And Stallone said, I can't give you 4, I can give you 3. And Willis went, see ya.
Because I'm an arse.
I'm an arse. So, Harrison Ford's taking his place.
I mean, that boggles the mind. He's never been an action hero.
Apparently Harrison Ford appeared on the American talk show Jimmy Kimmel Live. Jimmy asked him, have you seen the first two films? And he went, why would I do that? apparently Jimmy then offered to explain the story running up to, you know, through the first two films, and then Ford went, I really don't care.
I'm getting paid $3 million for 4 minutes work. Or whatever it was. 4 days filming. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen any of them. I can't really be that critical, but not, I don't know. They don't appeal to me.
Oh, I enjoy them. I think they're good laughs.
Is the female version still working in the workings, you know?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that since I mentioned it.
Okay. Next movie, Abomination, please.
Now You See Me 2 is going ahead.
I didn't see Now You See Me 1.
No, I've seen it. It's not bad. The ending's a mess.
What is it?
It's sort of four street magicians. Well, one's a street magician, one was sort of semi-famous and then faded into obscurity. And these four magicians are brought together to do a big show at Vegas. And while they're doing the show at the Vegas, they rob a bank at the same time. It's like a big magic trick.
Oh, right, okay.
The crowd think it's all a big trick, but this bank really has been robbed. Mark Ruffalo plays the cop who tries to find out, you know, how they robbed the bank when they were on stage in Vegas.
Ah.
So it starts out really well, but I think it just falls apart at the end. But apparently it made $275 million worldwide on a budget of just $75. So the director's coming back, and the director's been saying, this was actually one big story we cut in half.
Of course.
And they go, of course it is. You're just trying to get out of the ending, aren't you? That made no sense.
It sounds a little bit like Ocean's 11, but, you know, obviously more magic.
Yeah.
bank robbery heist film. Moving on.
Keanu Reeves has been speaking about Bill and Ted 3.
I bet that was interesting.
I'm just going to read it because... I'm going to read the quote. It's a long quote, but it's just a bizarre quote.
Okay.
He says, it's a long story. There's a lot of subterfuge and conspiracy theories. There's a whole thing. I might have to do one of those independent press conspiracy other name kind of statements explaining why it hasn't happened yet, because it's pretty dark out there. Denomalous is everywhere. There's all sort of stuff, and it just can't... There's darkness out there that's keeping it from happening. It's not winning right now. It's that part of the story where it's looking grim. It's the dark period. It's the apocalypse now of pre-production. It's Heaven's Gate. That's the part of the conspiracy. It goes to a whole other universe. It's like part of an M field. It's a B and T field.
Sounds like he's really getting into character. Makes no sense. What are you talking about?
Just say we're having pre-production problems or something. Don't speak bollocks.
That's a bizarre thing to say, isn't it?
Apparently both Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves are up for doing it, and they like the script, so I'm not really sure what the hold-up is. Obviously, I don't know what he's on about.
I really can't see how it's going to work. How are they... I mean, are they going to be older versions of the characters? You would hope so.
That's the only way it can go now.
And it was George Carlin played the... who's the spiritual guide guy?
Rufus,
yes, and he's dead. So I don't know, where can it go? It really feels to me like they're better off just forgetting it and move on. We don't need it, do we? Do we really need a Bill and Ted's 3?
Maybe if it falls through, maybe they can sort of adapt it into a comic strip, maybe, and then we can read it and go, yeah, I'm glad it didn't make a film.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I watched the shit out of those films when I was younger, but I was younger. That's my mindset then. There's no way I'm going to really... It's not going to appeal to me in the same way. And if it's aimed at a younger audience, I just don't see how they can make it relevant to a younger audience.
No.
It seems such a strange thing to do. But again, what do I know? I just talk shit about films that I haven't seen.
That's our job here, isn't it?
That's our job, yeah. We talk about stuff we don't know about. Let's move on. What's next?
G.I. Joe 3.
Okay, fair enough. I haven't seen G.I. Joe 1 or 2. Don't want to. Don't care. you watched one, didn't you?
I've watched one and two. I reviewed the second one for the website. It's on there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
In a nutshell, the first one is what I call an entertaining, dumb bit of fun. Number two is just dumb. It's just...
Yeah, lacks the fun.
Yeah, slapping myself in the head saying, why am I watching this?
It's not a Jerry Bruckheimer film, though, so it's not so...
No, it's not.
Any more?
One very quick... Jurassic Park 4 has had a name change.
It's had a name change?
Yes, it's now going to be called Jurassic World.
Oh, that sounds rubbish. It gives an insight into what the story's going to be, though, isn't it? It's like a...
There was a video came out a few days ago, which was it claimed to be a pitch reel for the film, and it was a beach scene with some guys surfing on the beach, and basically a pterodactyl swoops down and picks up one of the surfers, chucks it to its mate, and they eats it, and then it goes Jurassic World. So this is quickly being put down, saying no, this is not a pitch reel. This is actually a trailer for a game that never went into production. So okay.
Right.
So, you will. That's on the internet if you look for it.
It's just occurred to me. This is exactly what we predicted. Jurassic World. We got it slightly wrong by saying dinosaurs on the moon. It's actually dinosaurs on Mars, and it's a whole world of dinosaurs, and they've genetically mutated them so they can survive in the atmosphere of Mars, and people can go there and experience Jurassic World.
Wow.
Which is probably a better idea than the actual plot. So, Jurassic World.
We'll have to wait until June 12th,
2015.
It's going to be a while before we see anything.
Thank goodness. There's still lots that could go wrong with that.
The first trailer will come out and we'll have a rant section in shitting on our youth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not actually... I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Fuck it. okay, that sequels and prequels. I kind of feel the enthusiasm levels have dropped a little bit towards the end of this show. I think maybe we'll have to start doing sequels and prequels earlier in the show and then build the levels back up again. But probably more entertaining. Is that it for sequels and prequels?
That's it.
Okay, well, we really should touch on the news, the Batfleck news.
Batfleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck is going to be Batman. Good choice, bad choice? Any feelings on that?
I want to see it happen. I want to give it a go. I think everyone's jumped on the we hate Ben Affleck bandwagon, but I'm like, well, let's see how it turns out first.
Yeah, I don't have any real aversion to it. I mean,
it was recently someone from Warner Brothers said recently that he'll be a weary and worn out Batman. He won't be sort of like someone who's just become.
Right, no.
It'll be someone who's been Batman for a long time, and he's like, oh.
Right, okay, so a little bit jaded.
Yeah.
But presumably he's going to make his debut in the next Superman film, which is touted as being them sort of fighting each other.
Well, they have said the inspirations come from, is it Year One?
Right, okay.
And Year One, where Batman has to defeat Superman.
Right, okay, gotcha. I haven't read that, but I should.
That's kind of where the inspirations come from, but it's not an adaptation of that.
No. Okay, I mean, in the same way that I guess The Dark Knight trilogy drew heavily on other graphic novels but not directly followed the storyline. Okay, interesting. I was expecting a younger Batman, if I'm honest, to meet with the young Superman. You know, he's only just become Superman, and it would sort of be a first meeting where they would fight each other and then sort of become allies. Do you know what I mean? They'd sort of fight out the differences and then realise they're on the same side. That's what I was expecting, but obviously that's not what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know if Affleck's heavyweight enough to be Batman. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously he did Daredevil. Obviously, he's done a superhero movie in the past. From what I have heard on another podcast, one with Kevin Smith, who obviously is friends with Affleck, very good friends.
Yes.
Bought his house off of him, and Affleck is a massive Batman fan already. He loves Batman, knows his Batman inside out, never expected to be able to play Batman, which is part of the reason why he took the Daredevil gig in the first place. But I don't know, I just don't know. I think he'll probably do all right, but I don't know.
I presume they're going to be against each other, because what kind of foe could you have for them to team up to beat?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, then I think it's time to end the show. Thank you very much for listening. It's just my great pleasure to say thank you, John.
That's all right, thank you.
And we will see you next time.
unheardnerd.com.